Please be seated. And Menna will come to read from John 10, verses 1 to 18, which is on page 1076 of the Pew Bibles.
Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Please keep that passage open in front of you as we look at it together. One day, a pastor was taking a group of his parishioners on a tour of the Holy Land, and he just read the passage that we've just read together and was explaining to them that as they continued on their tour, they'd probably see shepherds on the hillsides, just as in Jesus's day. He told them what every good pastor tells his people about shepherds, that in the Holy Land, shepherds lead their sheep, always walking in front to face any dangers, always protecting the sheep by going ahead of them. Well, he barely got the last word out when, sure enough, they rounded a corner and there on a hillside they saw a man with his sheep. There was only one problem. The man wasn't leading the sheep at all. Instead, he was behind the sheep and seemed to be chasing them. As you can imagine, the pastor was pretty embarrassed, so he ran over to the fence and said, "I always thought shepherds in this region led their sheep out in front. And I told my people that a good shepherd never chases his sheep." And the man replied, "You're quite right, that's absolutely true. But I'm not the shepherd, I'm the butcher." In the Judean countryside in Bible times, the land was pretty barren. It wasn't easy to grow crops. And so, of course, many people kept sheep. And the sheep were always wandering off to find fresh grass. And the shepherds had to keep constant lookout to make sure that no harm would come to them. It's not surprising then that both the Old Testament and New Testament are full of shepherd and sheep illustrations. So let's look together at what Jesus said about shepherds and sheep. Look down with me at verse 1. "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." And in verse 7, "Therefore Jesus said again, 'Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture.'" Our first heading then, the gate for the sheep. The gate for the sheep. Historians tell us there were two types of sheepfold. In villages and towns, there'd be a communal sheepfold where all the flocks sheltered when they returned home at night. The fold had a strong gate, which was then locked. Only the guardian of the gate held the key. This is the gate Jesus is referring to in verses 1 to 3. But when they were out on the hillsides overnight in the warm season, the shepherd would gather his sheep into an open space enclosed by a wall. There'd be an opening in the wall, but no gate. The shepherd would hold his rod, his crook, across the entrance, quite close to the ground, and every sheep had to pass under it. In Leviticus, in the Old Testament, we can read this: "Every tithe of the herd and flock, every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod, will be holy to the Lord." The shepherd could quickly examine then each one to see if they'd received any kind of injury during the day. Then the shepherd himself would lie down across the opening, so no sheep could go in or out except over his body. This is what Jesus refers to in verses 7 to 9. In this type of sheepfold, the shepherd was, quite literally, the gate for the sheep. In verse 1, we can see that Jesus was talking to the Pharisees here. And in using this picture, one very familiar to his hearers, he makes an astounding claim that he is the only way to the Father's presence. "I am the gate," he said in verse 9. "Whoever enters through me will be saved." The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 2:18, "For through him," through Jesus, "we both, that is Jews and Gentiles, have access to the Father by one Spirit. And the writer to the Hebrews says something very similar in Hebrews 10, 19 and 20. We have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. Later on in John's Gospel, Jesus spells it out again unmistakably. He says this, "No one comes to the Father except through me." As the old hymn says, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. I read verse 4 with me. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. As the pastor in our opening story said, the sheep know the shepherd's voice and follow him. Our next heading, the sheep know the shepherd's voice and follow him. As teenagers, Janet and I met in the church we both attended in Leicestershire. Our youth fellowship used to put on a concert once or twice a year in the church schoolroom. Well, one year, Janet and I were part of the panel on a What's My Line item in one of these concerts. And we'd come to the place in the item where we had to put on blindfolds and try and identify a mystery celebrity, whose job it was, incidentally, to disguise their voice. Well, my father was chosen as the mystery guest, and as he took his seat, he cleared his throat. Despite my blindfold, I immediately knew who it was, and I whispered to Janet, sitting alongside me, "It's my dad." He didn't need to say a word. He gave a characteristic little cough, and I recognised his voice at once. Well, as we get to know Jesus, so we begin to recognise his voice speaking to us. We can hear that voice in many different ways. He speaks to us through the wonderful creation all around us. He speaks through our conscience, warning us when we stray. He speaks through the Bible, through Christian friends, through prayer, and through the faithful preaching of the gospel. He speaks. It's our job to listen. Unlike in Britain, where sheep are bred primarily for meat, in Palestine they were kept largely for their wool. So they could be with the same shepherd for years. And the shepherd would give them names that were often descriptive. Brown leg, black ear, and so on. The shepherd knew each sheep individually, and he would call them to follow him. Just as the shepherd in Jesus' day went ahead of his sheep, making sure it was safe for them to follow, so Jesus has gone ahead of us. He has passed through death into the Father's presence. And like the shepherd, he calls us to follow him. He doesn't force anyone. He doesn't take away anyone's free will. He knows each one of us individually. And as individuals, each one of us must decide whether or not to follow him. Let's read verses 12 and 13. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. The next thing then that Jesus warns us of was this. Hired hands, false shepherds. in the year 2005, Turkish media reported a bizarre incident near Istanbul. First, a single sheep jumped off a cliff. And then, while the shepherds, who had left the flock to have their breakfast, watched helplessly, nearly 1,500 others followed. In the end, 450 sheep lay dead, one piled on top of another. The financial loss for the families who owned the sheep is astounding. Estimated at today's prices, it was over £110,000. In the Old Testament, not only is God described as the shepherd of his people, but the religious leaders are too, sometimes, and often with dark and critical overtones. The strongest indictment of false shepherds comes perhaps in Ezekiel chapter 34. God commands Ezekiel to prophesy against the leaders of God's people, and he says this: "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals." Perhaps Jesus had this in mind when he talked about hired hands who cared nothing for the sheep. It's a terrible thing when those appointed to care for the people and be in the place of Christ for them care only for themselves and lead others astray. Sadly, a few years ago, every week seemed to bring news of a fresh scandal concerning church leaders abusing those in their care. What untold damage this does to the Church of Christ, bringing the name of our Saviour into disrepute. No wonder Jesus, so forgiving to the humble, repentant sinner, was so severe towards hypocritical religious leaders. So can I ask you please to pray for Martin as he leads us at Emmanuel? And pray too for all of us who lead others, the preaching team, home group leaders, those working with our children and young people. Pray that we will all remain faithful to God's calling and be kept safe from falling into sin. So now we come to the climax of Jesus' teaching. In an astounding, outrageous claim, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." Read verse 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And then, in case his hearers didn't believe their own ears, he says it again in verse 14. "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." Jesus' enemies, listening to this claim, could no longer ignore this upstart preacher from Galilee. And in verse 30 of this chapter, Jesus made an even more astonishing claim: "I and the Father are one." And his enemies were getting ready to stone him there and then. We can't escape these claims either. Either Jesus was deluded, or an egomaniac, or he really was who he claimed to be. As someone has said, he was either mad, bad, or God. If you haven't decided which it is, then look at the evidence. Was Jesus deluded, mad? Or was he a puffed up boaster, deliberately leading his followers away from the true God? Or was this humble carpenter from Galilee, who he claimed to be, nothing less than the Son of God? You must decide for yourself, but be warned, if what he said was true, then you ignore his call to follow him at your peril. So what have we learned about the Good Shepherd? First, the Good Shepherd knows you by name. The Indian theologian D.T. Niles once noticed a young Indian shepherd boy keeping a huge flock of sheep. He stopped and asked, "How many sheep do you have?" "I don't know," answered the boy. "I can't count." Niles asked him, "How do you know if some sheep haven't wandered off when you get to the place where you're going to camp at night?" To his astonishment, the boy answered, "I don't need to know how many wander off because I know each one. I can't count, but each sheep has a name and I know their names." Have you ever been at a party or a conference? Or perhaps in a new church where you didn't know a soul, where you felt so alone, perhaps rather insecure, lacking confidence. And then all of a sudden, someone from across the room waves to you and calls your name. You're recognized, you are known. A flood of acceptance and relief comes over you. You relax, you belong. The Good Shepherd knows each of his sheep by name. And the Good Shepherd cares for you. Jesus wants the very best for you. Look down again at this passage, at verse 10. "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Quoting the prophet Isaiah, he told the people gathered in the synagogue at Nazareth, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus came to heal you, to set you free from guilt and sin, to open your eyes to see the glory of the Father. Just as a loving shepherd cares for his sheep, so he cares for you. And the Good Shepherd not only knows you by name and cares for you, the Good Shepherd died for you. Verse 11 again. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The Good Shepherd places his body between the sheep and the wolves. He will die protecting the sheep rather than allow vicious animals to tear at his flock. A family was out one day on a picnic, mother, father, and two young children. As they sat down to eat, a wasp attracted by the sweet smells came buzzing around. It was about to land on the little girl's bare arm when instinctively her father put his arm around his daughter to protect her, only to be stung by the angry wasp. In the same way, Jesus took the sting of death in your place and mine. Again and again, he tells his listeners that the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 11, the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 15, I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life. Finally, let's read verses 17 and 18. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Jesus' sacrifice then was first a voluntary sacrifice. I lay my life down of my own accord, he says. No one took Jesus' life. He willingly and voluntarily gave it up for you and me. His sacrifice was a vicarious sacrifice. I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus didn't die as a martyr killed by men. He died as a substitute, vicariously, paying the penalty for your sins and mine, so that we don't have to. His sacrifice was a victorious sacrifice. I lay down my life only to take it up again. Jesus did die, yes, but he also rose again. The cross is empty. Jesus rose again. We serve a risen, victorious Saviour. A Sunday school teacher decided to have her young class memorise Psalm 23. She gave the youngsters a month to learn the psalm. Little Rick was so excited about the task, but he just couldn't remember the words. After much practice, he could barely get past the first line. On the day that the kids were scheduled to recite Psalm 23 in front of the congregation, Ricky was very nervous. When it was his turn, he stepped up to the microphone and said proudly, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I need to know." If you remember nothing else, remember this: the Lord is your shepherd. He knows you. He cares for you. He died for you. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are our good shepherd, that you know each one of us by name, that you care for us, that you died for us. Help us to recognize your voice as you speak to us and to respond in repentance and faith. Amen.